And those of you who would like to participate in this visitation of our shut-ins type of thing. We're talking about heaven in the real world. That's where we've been the last several weeks. Looking at the whole idea of not having to wait to live in heaven's power when we die, but to be able to actually live daily in the power of heaven. And we started out in this study talking about hearing heaven's message. What is the message that heaven wants us to hear so that we know what is it that God wants us to know about Him and about us in relationship? In this part of our study, which we began last week, with part two, which is sharing heaven's message, what we're doing is looking at, okay, we hear the message from heaven. Now we've got to take it to other people and share that. And so last week we began this talking about becoming the hands of heaven. How do we as God's people actually do the things that heaven does for us? In other words, sharing the work and serving and so forth. Well, this morning as we continue looking at sharing heaven's message, we're going to focus on reflecting the eyes of heaven. Okay? Reflecting the eyes of heaven. It's about recognizing, as I said a moment ago, heaven's message. What is that message that heaven wants us to know? It's all about how God sees us. You see? The problem is that too many people in the world today, too many Christians, struggle with how God sees them. You see, and the whole idea of I'm not good enough, I don't measure up, and does God really love me, and all those kinds of things. And the message from heaven is that yes, God loves you, and He wants you to be with Him. You see? Sharing heaven's message then is about taking that message of God's love and sharing it with other people in our lives. The people that God brings into our lives, one way or another, is sharing that message. So, I've got three questions that we're going to talk about this morning. Okay? Now, just to let you know, we have an atomic clock on the back wall back here. You don't have to turn around and look at it. Take my word for it. It's supposed to adjust itself. Okay? But it's been stuck on 8 o'clock, you know, since about 9:30 this morning. So since it's only 8 o'clock, and we're not supposed to finish up here till 4 to 11, sit back and buck your seatbelt. Now, just teasing. But anyway, three questions we're going to talk about this morning, okay? Three questions. The first one is, how do you see God? Okay? How do you see God? Have you ever gotten the look? Okay? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about when I say the look. Okay? Some of you know how to give the look, don't you? Okay? You know what I'm talking about is that look, they don't have to say a word. But when somebody gives you that look, you know that you're in trouble. Right? You guys know that. You get the look. Okay? Sometimes you get the look, right? Some of you here are really good at giving the look. I've seen it. Okay? I've seen you give the look. Okay? And so we know what that's all about. You're either in trouble or, you know, you messed up somehow, you say, and you're getting that look that says, straighten up. You say, yeah, some of you know. You know what that's all about. Okay? So we know what the look is, okay? Moms and dads have a way of giving the look, don't they? Okay? Yeah, we know all about that. Sometimes it's that puzzled look, like, you don't have to say a word to that. Sometimes it's that, you know, right? Moms and dads know how to do that. But moms and dads are not the only ones, okay? All right, teenagers know how to do that. Roll those eyes back to head. That's the look. What is it, Bill Cosby said? Don't you roll your eyes back of your head. Right? You see? We know how to do that. We know how to say what we want to say without saying a thing. We do it all with the eyes. It's the look. Okay? Maybe some of you have gotten that look from the cop that says, hey, save it for the judge. I don't even want to hear it. You know, right there? A lot of people. You do that, hey. just save it for the judge. Okay? I've given that look lots of times. Had to take off those shady sunglasses, you know, to be able to really let them see that look. But you give that look. Okay? Maybe some of you kids in school have gotten this look. Don't tell me that your dog ate the homework. You've heard that story many times. You say, you gotten that look from your teachers? Huh? Some of y'all? Uh-huh. It's all about the look. You see, the look sends a clear message wherever it comes from. Doesn't matter, does it? But it sends a clear message. All it takes is a look. No words are necessary. What look do you see from heaven? Okay? In other words, how do you see heaven looking at you? There's a lot of perceptions, a lot of ideas that people have about how heaven looks at them. You see? You might be one of those folks that kind of gets that look from heaven that says, yeah, you just might get in by the skin of your teeth. You know? Am I really going to be able to get into heaven? Maybe. Some of you may get that look that says, how many times has it been now? You know? You keep doing the same thing over and over again, and, you know, he's counting, he's keeping count, right? You kind of feel like maybe that's the look that you're getting from heaven. And maybe some of you feel like this is the look that you're getting from heaven. That look of that judge that's sitting back there behind the bench, leaning over to you. You're going straight to hell for what you've done. You don't even have to say a word. It's that look that we feel. And these are some of the looks, the ideas, the perceptions that people have of how heaven is looking at them. But there's one look, one special look, that really takes all those others out of the way and gives us an understanding of the proper look. All those others are just false. They're not the true look. Heaven doesn't look at us in any of those ways. This is how heaven looks at us. You see? That one look, the look that Peter got from Jesus when the rooster crowed after Peter had denied Jesus the third time, and the Bible tells us that Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. What was that look? It wasn't the look of condemnation. No, instead, in the midst of his grievous sin, what Peter received was a look of love. The eyes of heaven, looking at him. And that look of love caused Peter to go out, the Bible says, and to weep bitterly because his sin convicted him of what he had done. But it's that look of love. That's how heaven looks at us. The question is, do you see heaven looking at you that kind of a way? Okay. Or do you look and do you see heaven looking at you in some kind of condemning way or something like that? That's the look of heaven. The look of love. Question number two. How do you see others? Okay. How do you see other people? Now, you remember last week we talked about specifically two different women. Okay? The first one was the woman who had an issue of blood. She'd been, had this problem for 12 years. She'd been bleeding, and Jesus is coming through the town, and she hears about it, and she says to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then maybe I'll be healed. And so she tries this anonymous touch. If I could just get in there, and he doesn't even have to know. And so She works her way through the crowd and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, hoping that he won't even notice. But he does. And he stops. As we talked about last week, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter's response is, look around, Jesus, there's all kinds of people that are pushing and shoving, and how can you ask who touched you? And Jesus said, "Power has gone out from me." As we talked about last week, the hands of heaven, the touch that is there, and Jesus recognized that power. But here's the significant thing I want you to focus on this morning with this. He tells us here that the woman seemed she could not go unnoticed. She fell at Jesus' feet. You see, heaven noticed her. We also talk about the dinner party that Jesus was invited to at the home of Simon the Pharisee. And another woman, a woman who was known in the town to be a sinful woman, came to Simon's house and she wept and her tears fell on Jesus' feet and she dried his feet with her hair and she poured perfume on his feet. And Jesus said to Simon, he asked him this question, "Simon, do you see this woman?" And Simon, because you see, he was thinking in his heart at that time, if this man were truly a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this is. And so Jesus responded to Simon's thought, saying, "Simon, do you see this woman?" And most likely Simon, at least in his thought, was saying, "No, I don't see her at all." You see, he didn't see her. What he saw was not a person, but a sinner who was soiling his image. That's all he saw. A woman who was of ill repute and had no business being in his house. He didn't even want her there. But Jesus said, "Simon, do you see this woman?" "No. I don't even see a person here." How do you see people? See? How do you see other people? Simon didn't see this woman, but heaven saw her. Heaven saw her for sure. The people in the village that Zacchaeus lived in, all they saw was a traitorous, thieving tax collector. That's what they saw when they looked at Zacchaeus. See? He was a Jew, but the Jews considered him to be a traitor because not only did he collect taxes from them, which was bad enough, right? Right?
Amen.
Right. None of us like tax collectors, right? Okay. Alright. You see? So not only was he a tax collector, but he collected those taxes for the Roman government, which was their enemy. So he was a traitor.
Yeah.
And not only did he collect those taxes for the government, but like most other tax collectors of that time, they collected more than what they were required. So he cheated people. So he was a thief. As far as they were concerned, that's all they saw. But heaven came walking down that street through the crowd. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he climbed up in the tree. And so heaven looked up into that tree, and it saw a soul that needed saving. Not a treacherous, traitorous, thieving tax collector. It saw a soul that needed saving. Question number 3. How do others see you? Okay. How do others see you? How do you see heaven looking at you, and how do you see other people, but also how do other people see you? That's an important question for you to think about. You see? In other words, what do your eyes reflect?
Okay?
What do people see when they look into your eyes? Okay? Do they see a look of condemnation? They're unacceptable to you because maybe they don't have religion, maybe they don't, you know, they're not involved in church, or they don't believe in God, or they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. How do they see you as you respond to them? What do they see? The reflection of Jesus' love and compassion in your eyes as you look at them. How do they see you? Jesus over in Matthew chapter 6 talks about how important the eyes are. You see, by saying this, the eye is the lamp of the body. Okay? If your eye is healthy, okay, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, what Jesus is saying basically is the eyes reveal what's in the heart. So again, the question, how do others see you? What do they see in your heart as they look into your eyes? What do they see reflected back? Heaven saw the Samaritan woman at the well. We talked about her a little bit last week also. Heaven saw her. But I want you to notice something special about this whole scene as it unfolds. Jesus is there at the well talking to, as we said before, this Samaritan woman. And the disciples, while they left Jesus there, they go into the village, this Samaritan village, to get some food. Jesus is there conversing with this woman, and then she leaves and goes back to the village. And do you remember what the woman says to the people as she goes back to the village? She says, "Come see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" And the disciples then return. And they come back and offer Jesus some food. And he says, "You know, I have food that you don't even know about." And they're just kind of wondering, you know, "Well, did somebody bring you something to eat? What, you know, what's he talking about?" And it's at that Jesus says to them, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe unto harvest." Now, the interesting thing about this statement that Jesus makes is that he made that statement just before he took them into this Samaritan village, not just to get something to eat real quickly and try to stay away from these unclean Samaritans as much as you possibly can, but they stayed there a couple of days. That was unheard of. Because Jews did not associate with Samaritans. It's okay to associate with them if you're, you know, from out of town and you need something to eat. I guess we could go and get something from them so we don't die of starvation out here. They were okay for that. But Jesus took them into the village and they stayed there for a couple of days. Right. Amongst these unclean people. And Jesus is saying, "Open your eyes." You see, they probably didn't even want to be there. And they certainly did not see these Samaritans as real people. They were worse than Gentiles because they were half-breeds. So they didn't see them as people. They saw them as something to be avoided as much as possible, and only contacted with if and when it was necessary. And Jesus, can you just imagine what was going on in the disciples' mind when Jesus said, "Let's go into the village here. We just came from there. Don't want to go back. You know, this is a Samaritan village. Do you never realize where we are? Can you just imagine that going through their minds? Because they didn't see people there. Because Jesus looked at those Samaritans the way he did, with compassion and love in his eyes, what was their response after the time that Jesus spent with them? Well, John records for us in verse 42, they said to the woman, okay, it's no longer because of what you told us, you see, that we believe in him. We know for ourselves that this man is the Savior of the world. Because Jesus looked at them not as Samaritans who were to be kept away from, but as people who needed his love. And that's the result when we look at people the same way. You say, we have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them so that they too can declare him as their Savior. But if people don't see Jesus reflected in our eyes when they look at us, chances are they're going to walk away. So here's a test for you. You know, you've been to the eye doctor, maybe, you know, I don't know how long ago it's been, you've been to the eye doctor. Usually when you go, you get your eyes checked, you have a test here, a chart that you got to look at. You see? And, you know, the doctor says, you know, read the smallest line that you can read on there. Okay? Can you read that? To see like my Savior, learning to see myself and others the way that God sees us. A visit from the heavenly optometrist. Okay. Lord, give me your eyes so that I can see. Reflecting the eyes of heaven in our lives. So that others see Jesus in us. Because what they see in the eyes reflects what is in the heart. And when our eyes show the love of Jesus, then they know that our heart is open to it. And I want to more and more in my life to reflect the eyes of Jesus. We're getting ready to sing an invitation song. And it's a song that I asked to be sung, and we didn't communicate. I didn't communicate effectively this. That's why we don't have a slide for it. So I want you to use your songbook if you need to. The song is Faithful Love. And that's really what these lessons are all about. That faithful love that flows in. And while we're singing this song, if there's someone here that needs some prayers or some encouragement or guidance, maybe forgiveness for not reflecting the eyes of heaven in your life, Let us help you, whatever it might be. If there's someone here who's not a Christian yet, but you're ready to become one, if you're ready to give your life to Christ, you can do that right now this morning. All you have to do is come up and let me know. You're ready to repent of the sin that is separating you from God and call on Jesus your Lord. You can be baptized in Christ right now. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be up front to receive.